Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Mike Koss along with you tonight on the Saints Hour, talking about, of course, the roster reduction, the initial roster reduction to 53. Saints will begin their practice squad building tomorrow. Check out the waiver wire, see what it looks like. And then really, when you start thinking about the rest of this week, weekend, and then Monday and Tuesday, and then they'll finalize that roster, get to that 53 as they start working towards the Carolina Panthers. And joining us now from the NewOrleansSaints.com and their digital team, reporter, host for the Saints and Pelicans, Aaron Summers. Aaron, how are you?
I am doing great. We made it through a very long training camp, and I'm just excited that we're finally going to have a game week next week.
Yeah, well, that's what kind of, you know, I broached that with John DeShazer, your colleague who was just on, and I'm gonna begin with you where I ended with him, because you could tell that Irvine had impacted him. He was ready to be home. It was time, right? I mean, you know, everybody looked at Irvine a couple of different ways, and so he was happy to get home, and I can appreciate that. But we spent so much time together, media and team, and I was just curious, just kind of, you know, if there was a moment, an interview, a play, a moment with the player, something that kind of sticks out, because we were so close, but yet we kind of interviewed him in an area, and then they went off. We never saw him again. Mm-hmm. So we were close to him, but we weren't like hanging out with him, right? So I was just curious, just kind of what was your takeaway from a personal standpoint from Irvine?
I think that just watching practice in general, you could tell how much faster paced it was, how much more they were getting out of it. They're playing the entire 2.5 hours, and there weren't a lot of breaks, and there were rarely stoppages for water or anything. I mean, when we're in New Orleans, we're moving inside because of weather constantly, and not just the heat, you know, rain or thunder, lightning, et cetera. So they were able to get in so much work, and you could kind of just feel that the pace, the tempo was ramped up, but also the players' energy, the urgency, what they're trying to get after this season was very apparent. They talked about it a lot in Irvine, that the standard has been elevated. They've been challenged to bring more every day. And since we've been back, the players told me over the past couple of days that they felt like it was hard being isolated like that, but it also really helped them develop bonds with players that they might not have hung out with outside of practice or outside of their you know, prospective position groups. So I think that is very beneficial, especially when we go back to the end of last season when there was a lot of talk about culture and, you know, needing to kind of find that again for this team. But it really seems like this team grinded it out in Irvine. I know everyone's going to say, well, the weather was great, but it is really hard to be away for a month from your family, your routine, your normal surroundings, and have to rely on, you know, the brothers around you. And that's what they did, and they got through it. And I think that they had a lot of good work, and then on the other side, a lot of good bonding and relationships that were formed.
Yeah, I think they'll bear, you know, the fruits of that labor sometime week eight, now who knows what it'll be. But I agree with you. I think there's going to be a bond there that Sean would always try to get, and Dennis would try to get on these London trips or these long trips, whatever you can do to get them together for as long as possible. And I think we'll see some of that come out, maybe not right away, but in time. And I agree wholeheartedly. I was curious, you know, the focus usually is kind of on the 53 day is on those who got cut, right? Not necessarily the 53 that's remaining, but those that at least got cut today. We'll see what tomorrow brings. They have the possibility of 17 to come back if Charlie Smith is one of them. Was there anybody, I mean, this is such a common question, but what was the surprise for you, if at all, from those that did not make the initial 53?
I think when Dennis Allen was talking over the past couple weeks, you know, he made a point of the fact that he didn't know who the starting safety was opposite of Tyrann Mathieu. So the fact that Jonathan Abram got his contract terminated was a little bit surprising to me. Did that mean that Will Harris and Jordan Howden have shown themselves to be that much better? Is it just because they're younger players? I don't know. The answers are there, and Coach Allen didn't want to get into a lot of the whys when we talked to him today. You know, he kind of wants this week to play out because there's going to be a lot more movement in the roster. But I think the Jonathan Abram was a little bit surprising for me, although you never know how things could end up down the line. And then we always were, you know, looking at that kicking battle, and Groupie solidified that. But then it was Matthew Hayball that was able to overcome Lou Headley, who had been in as the punter. So that was interesting. You know, not a lot of just surprises per se, but I think if you didn't go to Irvine and you weren't there watching Mason Tipton at the beginning of camp, you didn't see him in any preseason games. So you have no idea what this player actually looks like. But obviously the Saints really liked him, because after he got hurt August 7th, we didn't see him again on the field, but the Saints wanted him, liked him enough, something about him, they put him on their 53.
And I kind of felt like, and maybe this plays into the safety role as well, maybe not, but just throughout, if there's a tie somewhere, we can't decide, it's a tie or whatever, they're mm-hmm. going younger, right? They're going to go younger. Right. If that's my default, I'm going younger. It just felt like, whether that was planned or not, probably wasn't planned, I'm just saying that's the end result is, in a tie, let's go younger.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, Coach Allen and Mickey Loomis have said that they felt like they need to start getting younger, because a lot of leaders on this team, you look at Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, Alvin Kamara as well, they are getting older in their prospective positions, and you have to start finding the players that are going to be able to take over and fill those roles. So you need to start developing them now. And that, and Coach Allen always talks about that, really wanting to develop the players that you have in your room. Saints do a great job of going out and identifying talent. I mean, I think they are the top team as far as keeping or signing an undrafted rookie to their squad. Four undrafted rookies got signed to the Saints 53-man roster, which was at the tops of the other NFL teams. So they're really good at their scouting department and finding that talent. But, you know, it's about developing it and getting these younger players to come along.
We're speaking with Aaron Summers. We're going to talk more with Aaron when we come back on the other side of this quick break. You are listening to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas back here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Stay with us.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Saints Hour. We're talking all things Saints right now as they made their initial roster cuts to 53. We are speaking with Aaron Summers, the host and reporter and sidelines and Pelicans, you name it. Aaron's doing it for there. And it's kind of interesting because you're right. You talked about the four undrafted rookies, and you don't see it too often. Sometimes in the seventh round, which the Saints did, they released one of their draft picks, Josiah Ezrom, the tackle out of Eastern Kentucky. That just kind of, to me, that is the fine line of the NFL now, of an undrafted free agent and a guy taken in the seventh round. That line is so slim. It happens more now than before. He said, well, I'm keeping my draft picks. They're automatics. We'll see what happens. But now you're like, hey, and I feel like maybe that's some of this team, like, if he's not going to help us, I ain't got time. It's now.
Oh, absolutely. And Coach Allen is very pointed when he talks about, I don't really care how many numbers I have in each room, although obviously you need a certain number of players in each position. But he wants a player that works hard, they're tough, they bring the right attitude every day, they support the culture, they support their teammates. So he kind of looks at more than just talent. He looks at also the person as well. And he looks when he's trying to make those decisions, you know, who are the best people, the best athletes to help my football team, regardless of position. And this has, you know, nothing to say about Josiah Zierum, but he's from a smaller school, Northern Iowa, and maybe they liked his body type, his size, and seeing him work with the other guys on the offensive line, they realized, all right, maybe it just, we want to go a different direction. So it is interesting sometimes how some of those draft picks don't get signed, because you feel like if you get drafted, then you're almost a lock, but sometimes that's not the case.
And it's hard to tell, and maybe it's just not obvious, and so I kind of thought we would look at this 53 and be able to go, okay, that guy was kept over guy X because of his play mm-hmm. with the new kickoff rule. And I don't know that we can do that yet, because I'm not sure what that body skill type is. I mean, we kind of know it's not, you know, it's not a defensive end, and you know, it's more of a linebacker, DB, safety, wide receiver, and those kind of realms. And so maybe that is the six wideouts, or, I mean, you got DeMarco Jackson and JT Gray, special team stalwarts, but they're special team stalwarts irrespective of the new kickoff rule. I guess I'm just surprised that I couldn't go, oh, and I think even Dennis talked about it. It's not obvious that one guy was taken over another because of the new kickoff rule.
Yeah, I think that it goes back to what I was saying about he wants, you know, kind of the best overall athlete, and then they're going to get him on the field, whether it's defensively or in special teams. We don't know how this new kickoff is going to shake out. Even from preseason week 1 to 2 to 3, there were a few less returns and people were doing different things with it. So I think that it's going to continue to evolve. The type of players that we see out there is going to change. At times over camp, I heard even running back Alvin Kamara could get put back there at some point as a returner, you know, Taysom Hill. So you have starters, players that you depend on that might be in some of these return roles once they really see the benefit and the way it's going to shake out, because preseason, nobody shows all their cards. So I think there's still a big question mark around what this kickoff is actually going to look like and the best way to attack it.
I had the hardest time when I came to the student and I was working with Charlie and Steve, kind of, I can't, my numbers won't come up to 53. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. You know where the problem was? Number
Wasn't
seven.
Taysom Hill as a quarterback?
Taysom Hill. Yeah. I did not, I could have put him, I didn't even have him on the list. I didn't have him on the 53. Didn't have him because I didn't have him as a quarterback. I didn't have him as a running back. I could have had him as a tight end. Didn't put him as a tight end. I knew they'd kept three. I was like, wait, where's my 50? It's Taysom. I'm like, that just shows you what he's everywhere, but nowhere.
Absolutely. He can do everything, and he's doing even more in this Kubiak offense. We've seen him a lot at fullback and tailback in camp, and he welcomes it, which is, you know, kudos to him, because he just turned 34 on Friday. He's not getting younger, and he still is an athletic freak. He can do everything on the field. And I talked to him in the game last week, or this past weekend, and he said that he has played every offensive position except offensive line, and he has no desire whatsoever to play offensive line, but anything else he's game for. And he's still listed on the roster as a quarterback, and we will see him at times in that role, but he is going to be used all over the place, and it's going to be really difficult for opposing defenses, especially in this offense that really hides a lot of what they're doing right up until, you know, they're in the play.
I agree. I look forward to tomorrow, see what tomorrow brings with the practice squad, and start looking at this waiver wire, because it's just the beginning. Appreciate your time. Enjoyed, you know, spending time with everybody out in Irvine, but also glad we're home.
Definitely. It's always great to be back home.
You're right.
Can't wait for next week.
You're right. Thanks. Aaron Summers with the Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com, writer, reporter, host.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.